that the Lord himself have bore witness concerning Joshua, a man in whom is the Spirit. It's not unique only to Joshua. We find it in the scripture in regard to many of the men of God that were rose up in the time of adversity, that what marked them out, what characterized them, is that very same expression. In Genesis, I think it's 41, Pharaoh said that about Joseph, a man in whom is the Spirit of God. He realized it was marked out the way Joseph have conducted himself, that he was a man under the control of the Spirit of God. It was said the same thing about Daniel. I think it is in chapter 5. It was Belshazzar's mother who said to him, there is a man in whom is the Spirit of the holy gods. It was marked out by Daniel, by everybody knew about him, though the king had did not know about him, but he was known to be a man who is controlled by the Spirit of God. And I think it was the same thing about Stephen, a young man in the book of Acts. He was full of faith and full of the Holy Spirit. So there are three resources for the believers. And it was mentioned in the book of Haggai. It is my present, my word, and my spirit. And we see that here. We saw the presence of the Lord. Joshua was conscious of the presence of the Lord when he was in the tent of meeting with Moses. He was conscious of that. Here we have the Spirit of the Lord. And I think when we come to Joshua chapter 1, we have the word of the Lord. Those resources who were available for that man to fight and to inherit the land and to take the people of God in there are available for all of us today. The presence of the Lord, the Spirit of the Lord, and the word of the Lord. What characterizes us? It ought to characterize us if we need to be used of the Lord.
We could see a very lovely feature when this passage opens. The Lord had said in the previous verses to Moses that we didn't read, it's time for your life to end. And it's rather interesting that the Lord is not the one who said, so now I'm going to tell you to appoint Joshua. There was, as if to say, a little pause in the conversation. The Lord said, you are going to be gathered to your people in verse 13. And then he stopped. And it gave Moses the opportunity to show what his heart was like towards the people that he has been associated with, that he's been entrusted with, we may say, for all this time. Because this was the very first thing that Moses says. That Moses says, please indicate who is going to lead this people next. My heart is for the people. They should not be like sheep that don't have a shepherd. And this kind of heart for the people of God is the heart of one whom God can use. When David was being disciplined by the Lord, and the angel of the Lord was standing with his sword drawn over Jerusalem, David says, he cries for mercy, and he says, these sheep, what have they done? Let the discipline be upon me. These sheep, what have they done? And this idea of seeing our fellow believers, seeing those that we may have responsibilities for helping, to see them as, these are your sheep. We don't want them to be purposeless. We don't want them to be leaderless. We don't want them to be without resource. So please let the Lord, the God of the spirits of all flesh, verse 16, set a man who is going to go out before them and lead them. A man who has this characteristic also of being a shepherd. And this is something that we haven't heard Joshua described as before, I think. We've known him as a man of war. We've known him as an assistant, an attendant, a servant. But we also find that he was a shepherd. And this is one of the reasons why God could continue to use him, why he was continuing in this sphere of responsibility, because he cared for the people as if they were sheep. He didn't look at them as, let's say, just a bunch of military soldiers. He didn't look at them as just a bunch of sinning, stiff-necked people who he had to sort of put up with. He looked at them as the sheep of the people of God. And so God continues the conversation then. The Lord says, Joshua is the one. It's also very nice that Moses didn't say, well, Lord, you should take Joshua now. Moses didn't presume to say that it should be Joshua. But clearly Joshua has had the experiences that have prepared him for this next and greater responsibility.
It is very interesting, as you said, that Moses did not just assume and say, Joshua, you came to me up and close to the mountain. Joshua, you are in the tent, so it must be you. What he did, he went to Jehovah. So often, unlike us, we just assume many things. But the point here is that one of the things we see with the choice of Joshua, it was divine appointment. It was just what Jehovah wanted, not what Moses wanted. So I think we find a little bit of how he was appointed by Jehovah. And since Jehovah never make a wrong, does nothing wrong, it was the right appointment because he had in view to take them over into the land because Moses could not go. So God would provide, but he is the one who appointed, the one who should lead them. It reminds me of what we have in the book of Acts, when the brethren laid their hands and the Spirit says, separate unto me Barnabas and Paul. I guess I see it as the same thing, where there was divine appointment for the one whom God would use.